This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. How have veterans with PTSD and other mental health conditions due to their service coped during this pandemic? Summit for Soldiers is a nonprofit that offers what it calls Advent Therapy, outdoor activities including bike rides, trail hikes, and mountaineering expeditions as a path to healing and recovery for veterans, service members, and family members who are living with or suffering from mental health injuries or lost to suicide. Steve Redenbaugh is co-founder of Summit for Soldiers, which has chapters in Ohio and here in Tennessee. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Tell us how Summit for Soldiers has been helping veterans during this time of the pandemic. Not easy.
Not easy, right? There's a lot of emphasis of not getting together. So to be honest, it's been just like everybody else and just like every other entity, it's been a very hard year for the community, veterans or non-veterans who have PTSD. This is a layer of stress, that's for sure. But what we did and what we do is we stick together. And that means we're on the phone or if we're in the outdoors. It's been even more important to have somebody to reach out to, even if you just got a vent. But one nice thing about the nature of our group being outdoors focused, is we were able to get together pretty soon as this pandemic evolved and all the advice that went back and forth. We were able to kind of wait that out and then early on start getting together because we're either on a mountain bike or a hike and people were able to do what they wanted to do and still feel safe. So recently we've done some land navigation, handful of people in the outdoors. It's pretty nice. Like I said, the bike rides are great because you show up, you get on your bike, you get to chit chat from the distance. So the nature of our group has been pretty friendly in this with COVID going on, but nevertheless, it's still just really challenges.
Where have you and the other veterans in the group been going in the outdoors?
There's a group that's met at Harrison Bay State Park. We met there for some bike ride and Booker T, Washington State Park. That's a beautiful park. We met there for some land navigation. One of our Army veterans taught a course, a good group showed up, and again, outdoors, plenty of room and space. And then afterwards, people were able to go out with their compass and try some beginning level land navigation. We're going to continue that one. It was such an enthusiastic response to that. We're going to continue that and help people moving toward kind of advanced land navigation. And those who are brand new to it can come in and get some beginner level. And the idea is later on in the year, maybe November timeframe, we'll have an event where they can put that to use, that and some rucking and maybe even some shooting.
And even to be outside for just a small space of time, even to be on the phone with each other for just a small space of time, it doesn't solve PTSD. It doesn't cure COVID-19, but it does make a difference. And there have been people in your group that have had to deal with both at the same time.
That's right. That's right. No question. And we've always stated and we maintain that the most dangerous place on earth with PTSD is alone. And isolation escalates PTSD towards suicidal thought and action. Even a phone call can interrupt isolation. And I think that's probably an important bullet, because if you ever got a hunch that you ought to call somebody, it's rare that backfires. Sometimes a phone call goes south, but when somebody's in isolation, they're in a dangerous place, typically. Not always, but typically.
And before long, Memorial Day will be upon us. And that's one of those times of year that can be very difficult for veterans who are part of a group such as Summit for Soldiers.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. There's just like a birthday of somebody you love, Memorial Day has a tendency to take us back to people we lost or mistakes that we've made downrange and things like that. It takes us back and things creep in when you start going there. Even people who've recovered and done quite well, even talking with Vietnam veterans decades later, doing great on their feet, doing all the right things, you know, that they've learned through counseling and through life. A day like that can take you to a place that can be pretty dark. So it's a good time, if you're a person of faith, it's a good time to pray for veterans suffering, it's definitely a good time to reach out and say, hey, if you don't want to be alone at this time, or if you want to have a cup of coffee, it is. You're right, Ray, to bring that up. It does take people back and relive or rethink some times that they've spent a lot of work and effort of processing.
Even if they appreciate others recognizing Memorial Day, it just still takes you back. It can't avoid doing that.
There's no trick to avoid remembering. Yeah, that's right.
And how this plays out for veterans, it can vary from the generations, whether we're talking those few who may still be around from World War II or Korea or early Vietnam versus later Vietnam versus where soldiers have been serving halfway across the world for the past 20 years.
Yeah. So global war on terror, right? The guys and girls in Afghanistan and Iraq, this community has learned a lot from the Vietnam veterans. And one of the places, there's a group here in town, Freedom Sings. It's a fantastic group. And they spend their time telling their story in song. They write songs based on a veteran's story. There's a great group there also of Vietnam veterans. And I bring that up because I have such respect for what they went through and the lack of resources. So we're learning from them. Keep your head up high and keep working. So that's what we'll learn from them. And also, it might be bold to say, but I think civilians who've been in car wrecks, sexual trauma, and other sources of PTSD are learning from us. Because a lot of people have invested in us. The VA has invested in us. The taxpayers have invested in our education. And it could be worse for this community. And I think we have a lot to offer. And in the Tennessee chapter, Settle for Soldiers, what you'll notice if you ever come to an event, about half of them are veterans. I think anybody would agree you don't want a room full of people with PTSD. That's not healthy and it's not fun. You want a good community. But what we're learning is that there's people who are non-veterans who are saying, can I hang out and learn what you all learned? I need that too. I love this, right? I love the community aspect of this. And what we're seeing in these groups, that there's skills that the civilian folks that are joining us are bringing to the table. And then you got skills of the veterans that they're bringing to the table. And we're sharing and we're growing and helping each other. Completely different stories. I think it's extremely healthy that we're not locked in a room with all like-minded people with the exact same background. So that's what we're learning.
And for people who want more information, for people who want to show up, for people who want to support Summit for Soldiers, where can they go online? How can they reach out to you?
The easy one is summitforsoldiers.org. That takes you to the national webpage. And on there, you're going to see some things. You look around, you'll find Tennessee chapter. And Tennessee, we also have the Facebook, which you can find on that. My email is steve@summitforsoldiers.org. If you leave me your phone number, I'll call you and we'll get together. We've got a great group starting up in Cookeville. We've got a nice little network in Nashville. We're not as many places as we'd like to be, but we've been known to go on a road trip to meet somebody to help them kind of get something started too. We're not very formal. Any money we raise right to veterans who could use help getting out with us, we're not collecting money for salaries or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when you get involved with us, we're really about pushing that money straight to the veteran who needs to get outdoors.
All right. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray. I really appreciate it.
For nearly seven decades, the Speech and Hearing Center in Chattanooga has helped people with speech or hearing impairments, regardless of their ability to pay. Taylor Bostwick recently became the center's president and CEO.
Taylor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about the mission of the Speech and Hearing Center.
Well, the Speech and Hearing Center's mission is enhancing communication and enriching lives. Our goal is to treat communication disorders in people of all age ranges and walks of life. We're a nonprofit medical practice, the only one in the area that specializes in communication disorders. And so we treat everyone regardless of their ability to pay for our services.
And we should recap which disorders we are talking about.
Yes. So the umbrella is communication disorders, and that means audiology, that means speech language pathology, and we also have occupational therapy and physical therapy.
And what brought you to this role?
Well, it was a winding road to get here. So formerly, I was the marketing director at Hamilton Place. I worked for CBL, and I have been in marketing and public relations roles throughout my career. But during COVID, you know, everything turned upside down, and I actually had a COVID baby and so was staying home with him. And when the former CEO of the Speech and Hearing Center was looking for her replacement and she was leaving the role, she found me, was referred to me, and we had a conversation, and everything just kind of fell into place. It was a really good fit and it was the right time. And so I jumped back in the workforce and full steam ahead.
And what challenges has the center faced as you've been coming in and the ones that you see over the horizon now that you are in this role?
The Speech and Hearing Center has been in the community since 1953, a longstanding organization. And traditionally, our status as a nonprofit, we've been able to see and provide services for anyone and everyone. And that's been based on largely United Way grant funding. So what's changed with the United Way is how they allocate funds. And that means that our overall grant funding is going away. And so we really are changing our business model and finding new ways to be sustainable so we can continue to serve the community and continue our mission work. So that's the challenge, but also the opportunity. I only see room for growth and great possibilities in our future. So it's really an exciting time.
And the center is just one player in this space in the Chattanooga area when we talk about communications disorders, whether we talk about the private sector, whether we talk about the public sector.
Yes, we are the only nonprofit clinic that serves this space in this way. And so that's what we have unique to us in the Chattanooga area.
And then as far as helping people during the pandemic, how are you proceeding in the coming weeks and coming months?
Like I said, everything turned upside down with COVID. We all know that. We quickly pivoted to teletherapy. And so now we're able to offer a lot of our services through Zoom with our different providers. And so that's one option that we've come to use. But for the most part, we're open and running as normal. You know, we still have our COVID processes in place. We still are asking all of our patients, as well as our providers, to wear masks in our facility just so everyone feels safe and comfortable at all times. And we still have our protocols in place. Our goal is to stay in line with CDC recommendations. So we'll phase things out as the CDC recommends. But for the most part, we're open and serving our patients as normal. And, you know, we've kind of paused on our fundraising events and things like that over the past year because of COVID. Everyone has. But that's something we'll be ramping back up to, hosting in-person events and fundraisers and getting back on that track.
What have patients been telling the center as they have received support, whether in person or virtually?
The services we provide are critical. So we work to identify speech and hearing impediments at an early age, and so that children can get the treatment they need to be successful in school and beyond. We're also helping adults with hearing loss. And so these are things that really matter to people's quality of life. And so the fact that we've been able to keep our doors open, continue to see our patients, a lot of our patients we're seeing at least on a weekly basis, sometimes multiple times a week. So being able to continue to provide those much needed services, I think that has been something that our patients have really appreciated, because it's not something they could really pause. They still needed the help, whether we were in the middle of a pandemic or not.
And for people who want more information, people who need help, where can they go online? Where can they call?
You can find us online at speechhearing.com. You'll find all of our information there. We're on Facebook, et cetera, wherever you prefer to reach out to us. Our phone number, 622-6900. We'd love to help you.
All right. Taylor, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. This afternoon we have a set of exquisite guitar pieces played by Chattanooga's Alan Chicot, live in Barking Legs in a virtual performance. Thank you.
Welcome to Barking Legs. Thanks for tuning in. I'm so glad to be back here for this awesome Wednesday night series. I know I've been a huge fan of the series myself. I rarely miss a week, and there's so many great acts, and I'm very honored to be included as a part of this series. I think the last time I played was maybe November, so it's been a little while. Got some new stuff to share. As usual, I generally for this series really like to showcase both American jazz standards, but also some Brazilian jazz music as well. Arranged for the solo guitar, for solo classical guitar. It's been my main area of interest musically for the last several years. And I'll feature some of my own arrangements, but also I'll highlight some of the work of other guitarists that have come before me that have done a similar thing with the classical guitar and dipped their foot in the water of jazz. And that first piece that you heard was a good example of that. That was a piece written by a Catalonian guitarist named Carlos Trepat. And there's a great concert video on YouTube of Carlos Trepat playing a concert in Germany on a 120-plus-year-old guitar made by Antonio de Torres, famous Spanish maker, with genuine gut strings on it. And it was just the most magnificent sound I had ever heard when I first ran across this concert a couple years ago. And it was mostly early 20th century Spanish music, very romantic, schmaltzy kind of thing. And that old world sound really suited that music. But I also, it was really, it piqued my interest in terms of the sound that I had been going for with jazz music. Something that I thought would suit that. And so I had that in the back of my mind. And then recently I ran across an original composition of Carlos Trepat, which was an homage to the Brazilian jazz guitarist Baden Powell, very famous Brazilian guitarist. And I thought, wow, he's actually not on a dissimilar wavelength to myself, it sounds like, if he's kind of been doing some jazz arrangements in this original composition. So that was an homage to Baden Powell, the great Brazilian guitarist, and that was written by Carlos Trepat. Next, I'd like to move into some American jazz standards. I guess you could say great American songbook classics. Let's see what we got here prepared. Oh, yeah, I think these are two. Pardon some tuning along the way, and I always say I won't talk too much, but there's always a story to tell about each one of these arrangements or some factoid, and I can't help myself, but give some time for the tuning to settle. So I'd like to play a pair of tunes here, two ballads that I've always loved since I got into jazz, but I've never really done anything with them, never explored playing them myself until recently. I did an arrangement of the first one and then discovered an arrangement of the second tune. So I'll start with the Jimmy Van Heusen classic, Darn That Dream, and I'll follow that with a wonderful tune, very appropriately titled Spring Is Here, by the great duo of Lorenz Hart and Richard Rodgers. So Darn That Dream, followed by Spring Is Here. Thank you. lovely tunes. I've loved those for so long, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to actually work those into the repertoire, as it were. So next, I'd like to move into some, I think, brave territory, if I do say so myself, as this is a part of the jazz vocabulary that's always baffled me and just been a real challenge to wrap my head around. As a classical musician, I've always come to jazz from the outside in, and it's always been something I've enjoyed, but especially as a solo player, I don't have as much experience with the group dialogue aspect of jazz. And as you can hear from the previous two selections I just played, where my headspace usually is artistically and creatively is really picking apart these timeless melodies and playing them in an introspective way, and maybe slowing the time down a little bit and being flexible enough that I can explore my own harmonic language and kind of what I'm trying to say with the tunes. But when playing the blues, that's not really typically an option. You know, when someone counts off a blues on a typical jazz gig, you're pretty much stuck with the tempo, and you better hang on, you know, and you better be able to keep up. So playing the blues has been something that's a thing that I've always shied away from. The last time I played here on the Wednesday night series, I actually did play a blues. It was one of the first times in many years that I attempted it, and it went fairly well, enough to try it again here tonight to help round out the set and give some variety for you this evening. Last time I played a tune by the late great jazz guitarist Emily Rimmler, it was a tune called Blues for Herb, which I would definitely check out if you're interested in solo jazz blues guitar. I'd like to play another Emily Rimmler blues. This time, this is a tune written by Wes Montgomery, who was basically her idol and kind of chief musical influence. And this is called the D natural blues, and natural in this case referring to the music notation convention of the accidental, the natural sign, as opposed to the D flat blues. Now, funny enough, Emily Rimmler played this in the key of B flat, so it's called the D natural blues. She played it in the key of B flat. And I tune my instruments lower than standard pitch, what's considered standard pitch. So for those of you with perfect pitch out there, just a really good ear, this is the D natural blues played in B flat but sounding in A by Emily Rimmler. Thank you. fun, quirky tune, that one. So that was a D Natural Blues, kind of reworked by Emily Remler. Check out the original Wes Montgomery version. It's quite different than that. And as I said, Emily was very influenced by Wes Montgomery. It's probably her chief influence. So no wonder that she would play a famous tune of Wes Montgomery and kind of do her own thing with it. Okay, so for something very different, let me get set up here. Let's see what we got. Yeah, okay, so a couple other new tunes. This is maybe going out on a limb here, but again, trying to give you some variety in this set tonight. Try a few different things as a... Okay. So I'd like to play a couple of tunes written by Burt Bacharach. The first one is not too much of a surprise. It's kind of considered a jazz standard and has been for several decades. And that would be Alfie, tune you'll hear a lot of jazz musicians have recorded and typically play on gigs. I should mention that both of these arrangements are by the guitarist Earl Klugh, which a lot of you may know as a smooth jazz artist, so-called smooth jazz or instrumental pop. And kind of some soul and R&B type records back on the Blue Note label back in the 70s. But a lot of people don't know that Earl Klugh is actually a fantastic solo jazz player as well. Doesn't do so many solo concerts, but has a couple of records that are just solo guitar. And every once in a while on a record, like maybe on the B-side, you'll get a solo guitar recording to kind of spice things up. And so the second tune after Alfie, I'm going to play The April Fools, again, nicely titled for this evening. And this version is actually on the B-side of a very famous Earl Klugh record called Living Inside Your Love. And some of you may know that, even if you don't know it by name. So it's the title track of that record. I'm sure some of you probably know that. And if you're a fellow millennial like I am and grew up in the 90s listening to any hip-hop, there was a Tupac Shakur track that used a sample of that very thing from an Earl Klugh record. So all that to say, the B-side of that record contains this version of The April Fools by Burt Bacharach. So obviously Earl is a big Burt Bacharach fan, and what a prolific songwriter. And some very, very beautiful melodies. So two of those, Alfie followed by The April Fools. Thank you.
Alan Chicot in Barking Legs Theatre. We will have the second half of this set next week here on Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.